All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, April 28th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I am having some technical difficulties this morning, but that's okay. It is sunny, and I don't even know what the temperature is, but it's beautiful out, and birds are tweeting today. So that makes me happy. I woke up and it actually was blinding sunshine. It doesn't happen too often. All my computers are broken here at the moment, so I can just yap for a few minutes until my clicky finger takes 5 minutes for a reaction on the computer to happen. This is pretty irritating. Hold on. I actually was trying to go to the other machine as the music was playing, except the other machine wouldn't boot up either. Oh God, I love mornings. Actually, I woke up this morning and discovered that how what is going on here? I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning about, oh, I don't know, 12 minutes before air with the hey. I didn't realize it was silly that it's time to get up, and my phone was dead, so my alarm never went off, which makes it very difficult to be on top of things. All right. I think we're here. It's going to be one of those mornings, but you know what? I'm not going to get upset about it. So we'll talk about a couple things. I don't know if anybody noticed, but last night I stayed up late, and I chatted with you guys a bit while I was hanging, checking out all the shows, but if you go to the UCY schedule, UCY.TV/schedule, you will see that I three quarters of the way reworked the overnight schedule. You will no longer hear Ms. May Brussels running from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., which I think she was Eastern time. We now are running all of our own shows. So for the time being, I've had Libby running at midnight. I tossed in Brandon to run the hour after at 1. Michael Cross unlocked the door to run at 2. Oh, I see May Brussels is still listed in there. It was a typo. I think I pulled her out, though. Yeah, I did pull her out. On the Brink with Jeff Wefferson running at 3. That gives Jeff actually a primo slot then for his Australian listeners. I think it ends up being 7 p.m. Dinner time in Australia at that time, so that's cool. And then at 4 o'clock a.m., we're running Truth or Talk. Here's the thing. Like, all these guys, I have at least a year's worth of shows for every single one of these hosts. But some of them, like Brandon and Michael, well, Brandon and I have almost 3 years of shows, if you can believe it. Michael, there's two. April and Verstein, there's like a year and a half already. So, you know, why are we running May Brussels that nobody wants to listen to? And it was very surprising. Actually, I crashed out after 3, so I missed April and Verstein's show that ran. But Brandon's show was a really good one. And Unlock the Door with Michael Cross, he had Dr. John Hall on. I think that was what the guy's name was, who did a whole show on mind control that I must have somehow totally missed. So that was great. It was really interesting. So anyway, I'm running that 5 nights a week, if anyone's interested, at least for now. Figure that'll give our friends in the UK and in Australia and New Zealand, and we get complaints. Not really complaints, but we have friends, right, that come into the chat room from the UK especially, and they're up like wee hours in the morning just to catch live shows because in the overnight, you know, we weren't running anything except for May and Bill. So just a heads up. Anyway, so on the weekends, I still have me and Bill running. I'll have to figure out what we're going to do there. And Bill has 2 hours still up until Hal goes. Not sure what I'm going to put in that slot yet, but I'll find something. And then new shows coming, too. I just need to get time to think about it and to call some people. All right, second thing. Second thing. I enabled it yesterday If you look on the UCY.TV tab navigation bar across the top of the website, you will see that there is another link there called May Day Vaccine Marathon. All right. That is a marathon that starts on Friday. Dr. Rima LeBeau is the person who is organizing it. April from Truth or Talk was the one who turned us on to it. They are doing live shows from 8 o'clock in the morning until midnight, all about vaccine truth. So they asked us if we would be interested in simulcasting it. I said, absolutely. I mean, this whole forced vaccine thing that's coming down the pike is no joke. You guys know if you listen to my show, I take this shit very seriously, and it freaks me out, and especially when we dig into some of the new technologies and stuff that they are using to put into these Frankenstein vaccines. And, you know, strangely enough, this John Hall that we were listening to last night, he was saying exactly, he was talking a lot about mind control, but he got into a lot of the secret CIA programs that have been happening in the past, and this Project Monarch and MK Ultra. Remember, we talked about MK Naomi, which was the secret CIA program for biowarfare, and we dug into the history of the biowarfare project. This Michael Hall, or John Hall, was saying pretty much the same thing we were saying about the biowarfare program, about the mind control program. And this is something that they were imposing upon us, and don't think that these secret experiments ever stopped. And the one thing that he had said is that, you know, there's all these kind of de facto laws saying that it's unethical to experiment on humans unless national defense is involved. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Because when we read about the biowarfare program, remember in the late 60s, early 70s, Richard Nixon signed the papers that said that the U.S. didn't do that anymore. We were going to be good, but we were going to protect ourselves with vaccinations. And then the vaccination program, you know, nobody looked twice or batted an eye at it. But if you really look at it, and like we've talked about all these pathogens running around now, and we'll look at some more today, you know, what a perfect opportunity. And to be making vaccines against all these never-before-seen pathogens, you better believe that they have to have those pathogens in the lab. So anyway, this May Day Vaccine Truth Marathon begins at 8 a.m. this Friday, which, yes, means before the first cup gets a day off. So that'll be awesome. I'll be sitting here in my pink and black polka dot bathrobe, drinking coffee, listening to the marathon as opposed to having to be sitting here on air for Friday. April is actually a guest on the marathon at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, so we should all give her a cheer. There's a bunch of other people that you'll recognize. Dr. Tenpenny's going to be on as well. There's a couple attorneys that are going to be on. The first and the second guest, Susan Story, I think they're going to talk about some of the things that happened to Susan. She's going to talk about the Vaccine Injury Board. And then the second guest is Walter Kyle, and he was going to talk about the law on the Vaccine Injury Board. So it looks like some really good stuff. We also have Mike Adams. You know, whatever you think about Mike Adams, he's still, you know, he's got a huge following through Natural News, and it's great to have him at least be promoting this event. So anyway, if you go to the May Day Vaccine Marathon, you will find that I have their chat embedded. So it will not be the UCY chat. I have their banner. I just made it big enough to put on our page. And then there is a list of all the guests and the times. And off to the left, you're going to see a blank white box. We are going to be archiving each hour, each guest. Actually, I'm going to have to tell Paul, I forgot. These are all in half-hour increments, so we'll have to look at this. I was going to be archiving each hour. We might have to, but we'll see. Anyway, we're going to be archiving the show for them, And then they wanted us to auto-rip it to YouTube, so we're going to do that for them, too. So this will all be up there in case you missed some of it. So pretty exciting. So that means on Friday, Josh wanted to take the day off. And if the host didn't want to take the day off, I was just going to program the show, you know, so it opened up onto UCY when their slot came up. But Josh said, no, taking Friday off is awesome. So Josh is off, and I just messaged LaVon yesterday because there's a round table 11 o'clock to midnight. So that would have been easy enough to program around her show. And she said, nope, I'd love to take Friday off. So we are all off on Friday, and the May Day vaccine marathon is going to be running. So make sure you stick around and come back, hang out, meet some new people in chat, and learn something. I don't know. I think it's pretty exciting. Like I said, vaccines are a red button issue of mine. So I'm pretty happy about that. So thank you, April. Thank you, Dr. LeBeau. Okay, so where do we start? Yesterday, honestly, I don't even remember what I talked about. If I can scroll down, I don't even think I shared the show. Damn. I don't know. I was so busy yesterday. All this crazy stuff going on with Baltimore. Oh, that's another thing. I don't know what happened in the last few hours when I was sleeping, but there was some major stuff happening last night. We had the scanner on until like 3 a.m. And Baltimore was pretty nutty. If anyone wants to catch up on what's been going on in Baltimore, go to pigmynews.com and look across the top. I changed out some of the playlists. I actually worked 20 hours yesterday sorting playlists. So somebody go out there. I don't know. He had to have uploaded probably 60 or 70 video clips from yesterday with all the craziness happening in Baltimore. So there is a Baltimore violence playlist there if anyone wants to catch up. I swapped out. Oh, it still shows police brutality. Yeah. I swapped out police state, and there's a new police brutality playlist that I tried to sort out anything considered police statey just to police brutality cases against innocents. And then with the Nepal earthquake that I don't even know what the estimate is now, but yesterday I thought I was seeing like 37 or 3,800, and the president or the whatever he is, the mayor of Nepal, I don't know what he is, was saying that he was thinking that the numbers could go as high as 10,000. So you had the avalanche on Mount Everest. You had the devastating earthquake in Nepal, which those were both kind of related. And then you also had that massive Chilean volcano. I saw that now in Peru, they're talking about an eruption. There's been some landslides too. So anyway, there's three new sections on the website. Police brutality, those are all new videos. Baltimore violence and earthquake volcano, which also includes landslides, and mudslides and all that crazy stuff. So I don't know. You want to catch up on what's been going on for the last week or what's been keeping me awake at night? There you go. So make sure you go out there and check it out. Actually, there's some pretty nice lists. Like I said, I spent almost 20 hours yesterday with all this craziness getting all of the playlists sorted. So that is built for you to see. All right, now let's get back to where we started. So that was all the news. Oh, and you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to hit the chat tab. Oh, and for anyone listening to the show, because I guess it's already been brought to my attention, who was going to the Before the First Cup page to listen to my show, people were confused because my chat was gone there. Yes, we moved the chat to a central location. So if you haven't been here, just take a look right in the center of the navigation bar on the UCY website. It says UCY chat. If you go there, that's where everybody is. And I see you. Good morning, everybody in chat. All right. So we need to get to... Oh, it's going to be one of those days. It's going to be one of those days. Yeah, it was a late one last night. There was just too much going on. I couldn't help it. I finally, I couldn't stay awake anymore. I was like, oh, I'm done. But by that time, I already heard the birdies tweeting. And that's not good. We don't want to be hearing birdies tweet. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea what I called the show yesterday, and I can't get to any place fast enough to even see it. But I usually like to back up a little bit. All right, here we go. Oh, bird flu. That's right. That's what we talked about. Bird flu, state of emergency, car hacking and insecurity. So what happened at the end of the show yesterday is somehow mysteriously, as we were talking about this blow up of bird flu in 12 plus states, and I think it was Minnesota and Wisconsin, both had declared states of emergency now. There's been millions of birds called. Iowa, I mean, they're going after all these chickens now that are sick, which is like Iowa. We had learned now a couple times that they produce one out of five eggs on the dinner table or the breakfast table in the United States. All those turkeys are being called up in Minnesota, which is the biggest turkey producing state. So put on a seatbelt. I mean, I know people in chat were saying, oh, yeah, Julie, you totally missed it. This bird flu thing's been going on forever. Well, I'm still going to beg to differ on that, because if it were that virulent, I mean, I don't know. I do watch this stuff pretty closely. I mean, I know that we've had little percolations of bird flu. I'm not going to say that it was completely devoid from the environment, but to be out of control to the point where at 12 plus states, raging state of emergency, we're working on a vaccine. Oh my God, Fido's got bird flu. I don't know. To me, this just seems like another way to put fear, fear, fear in the minds and hearts of the American public. So when it comes time to line them all up to get their next generation bio warfare injection, everyone will be more agreeable, right? I mean, that's pretty basic psychology. All right, so we talked about car hacking. We talked about manufacturers talking, using the DCMA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, to potentially make working on your own car a crime. If you manipulate the software, the hardware, you could damage the new, what they're going to designate cars, mobile computing devices. But what had happened at the end of the show, I actually somehow mysteriously got muted, though the computer's on the other side of the desk, as is the mouse. So not sure how that happened without me noticing. But there was a whole section that talked about the new cybersecurity bill. And I mean, we talked about this when it first started coming out, where Obama had approached the tech giants and had pretty much said, hey, you know, you guys want me to cover your ass. So the only way I'm going to be able to cover your ass, Lily, is you guys hand every bit of data that we ask you for about private individuals over. If you want us to cover your ass from lawsuits, then you better bend over and spread them and become part of the team, because we're not going to do this anymore. You guys think you can be a separate entity and not, you know, give it all up. You got another thing coming. So it's kind of like pay protection from the thugs, from the organized thugs out there. And that's pretty much what they've done. So now they have all these corporations that have been given carte blanche, that when they hand over information about users on their network, they will not have any liability to be sued later on for breach of privacy or whatever. And it said specifically that they're going to be contacting the alphabet agencies directly to give them intelligence about, you know, interests, targets of interest. Now, that should be really disturbing. I mean, any corporation that opens their back end to the feds and lets them do whatever, whoever, whatever they want. I mean, if you think that they're just going to be like collecting info about employees, you got another thing coming. Once you let them in the back door, I hope they hit every financial record you have. I hope they hack through, they get into the CFO's computer, into his secret ledger. And all of a sudden, you find a letter saying, we'd like to talk to you. Because that's what's going to happen. So, I don't know. That's passed. Or they were working on passing it. That's it. We talked yesterday. Said that there were two bills. And they both were going, I think, to the Senate. They're being combined. And they were hoping to have that approved here shortly. I don't have the story up anymore, but it pissed me off because it was like 8 minutes. I read the story, and when it came time for the show to be published, it was just all dead air. All right, so where do we go from here? I don't even know what I feel like talking about, honestly, guys. Oh, here it is, cyber information sharing bill. That's what it is. Oh, yeah, one of the things I was talking about, too, is they said that they were opening this new department. Here, we might as well read this. What the hell? Wish I had a video on it. All right. This is actually on BenSwan.com. Cyber information sharing bills give government new surveillance powers. So, touche, NSA. We're going to read it anyway. This is from April 24th last week. On April 22nd, the Protecting Cyber Networks Act and the National Cybersecurity Protection Advancement Act were both passed by the U.S. House of Representatives. Both bills would be combined and is now headed to the Senate for approval, says right there. Described as, quote, cybersecurity information sharing bills that would make it easier for the government to defend against cyber attacks. Oh, yes, those pesky cyber attacks. And allow companies to more easily share intelligence with government agencies. Critics say that the bills are more accurately described as quote-unquote surveillance bills. The American Civil Liberties Union says the Protecting Cyber Networks Act, H.R. 1560, and the National Cybersecurity Protection Advancement Act, H.R. 1731, called affectionately known as the Homeland Bill, will work together to further erode privacy and expand the ability of the government to monitor communications. Specifically, the bills would create a new cybersecurity spy agency. Now, didn't Clapper, during one of the Senate subcommittee hearings, didn't Clapper come out an answer to the question, how many surveillance groups do you have within the federal government? And he kind of quipped and laughed. Ha ha ha. Only God would know how many. He has no idea. So, I mean, the fact that they're, instead of just finding some other alphabet agency to clean up and wind up and point in this direction, let's just create another one. Sounds like a good idea to me. That was sarcasm. Specifically, the bill would create a new cybersecurity spy agency and remove existing privacy protections. Oh, wow. So you know what? After all the NSA stuff that came out via WikiLeaks and Snowden, and all the times that we had said they're spying on us and people pointed to us and said, you tinfoil hat wearing paranoid crazy person, that now your friends have to like swallow their pride and go, wow, you weren't so crazy after all. After all of that, now it's in the common psyche. We all have accepted that everything we do, we say, anywhere we go is being spied on. So, hey, why not just flaunt it all out in the open now? So apparently they are. By adding the phrase, quote, notwithstanding any law, unquote, companies will be able to share information amongst themselves and with the government. And the word I keep hearing there is wanton. Yes, wanton sharing. It's going to be like a big orgy. It should make you angry that the systematic takedown of everything that we had ever stood for anywhere. And I mean, not that, you know, if you're committing a crime on work property, I don't think that that ever was being hindered by not having these draconian cybersecurity laws, right? Was it? And if your employer thought that you were doing something you weren't supposed to be doing, they took care of it. You got fired, probably, you know. And if you stole something, they probably called the cops. So I don't see how now all of a sudden, you know. And here's the thing, too. The NSA, we read all about General Keith Alexander last summer, the summer before. We spent like 3 days on him and all of his spy agencies that he created within the NSA. And especially now that Keith Alexander's this, you know, cybersecurity professional selling himself for $1 million a day, was it? Or $1 million a month, I think, for his expertise. So why do we need any more? I mean, it sure as hell sounded to me like Keith Alexander had it all locked up, lock, stock, and barrel. And had a handle on all the quote-unquote potential terrorists, including the potential domestic ones that become radicalized over the internet. And now that apparently we have all these workplace jihadis out there we have to be spying on, you know, you'd think the NSA would already have that covered. So I don't see where this is coming from. All right. So by adding the phrase, quote unquote, notwithstanding any law. So, hey, screw all the laws, regardless of what all the laws are, we're going to do anything we want. I mean, that's pretty much what that means, right? Notwithstanding the law. So besides anything the law says, outside, over, and above, we're surveilling you. Companies will be able to share information amongst themselves and with the government. The information, and it's a big cover your ass bill is what this is. The information does not have to be directly related to an ongoing cybersecurity investigation. The language in the bill will also protect the companies who share information from being sued. Ding, 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 ding. You knew that was coming. That was something back in the mid-2000s when AT&T was told they had to bend over and give it up to the feds. For the cell phone info, and AT&T was screaming. I remember I was a tech back in those days, and it was a big case because we still had what we thought were some sort of privacy protections back then. So it was a big case. That was like the little people backed by Big Ma Bell against the feds. And pretty much what happened was just like, I mean, we looked at Billy Gates and the antitrust lawsuit too when that all happened. And in the end, they get you to bend over and they give you a big wet one right on your butt cheek and say, don't worry about it. Just give us the information. We'll take care of it all. And that was it. And so big corporations just nodded their head and gave up the store. And I mean, hey, they're not in it for us, but it's just really infuriating that just in the last even 10 years, you know, from when cybersecurity really first became a buzzword and people were worried about, you know, hackers and whatever. It was more in the commercial space, not really, you know, you had McAfee antivirus for the consumer space. That's all you needed back in those days. but yeah, so I don't know. It just makes me sad because it's incremental. It's happening really, you know, as they turn the heat up a half a degree every week or two. You don't really notice it until you look back over a chunk of years. And then you're like, wow, this really has gotten out of hand. And I mean, this literally is so out of hand now with the spying and surveillance. Pigman actually dropped me a couple videos last night of some whacked out technology. And the day before, I had found some really whacked out stories, too, I wanted to tell you about in the mad science gone mad department. So here, let's get through this. It says the bill does not include provisions which require a company to review or redact any information that's personal are not related to a cyber threat. However, the ACLU says companies can still include information that it believes is plausibly directly related to the threat, so they can do so without impunity. So, and they can just basically, they're saying, hand it all over. We'll sort it out. Don't worry if there's any personal information in there, because even if it is, you won't get in trouble for it, and it might help our investigation. So just give us, you know what, give us all 10,000 pages, and we'll pull the three out that we need, and we'll get rid of the what? We'll get rid of the rest, right? Wink. Once information is shared with government, it can easily and legally, like I said, be shared with an abundance of intelligence agencies. The information will automatically be shared with the military, including the NSA and the Office of Director of National Intelligence. And from there, the information can be shared with federal, state, and local law enforcement. Once again, the information can be used for reasons that go way beyond alleged cybercrimes. And that's what I'm worried about, is what the hell else are they going to be snooping for? I mean, is this going to be like anything and everything? Anything that could potentially be illegal, they're going to find probable cause in a chat that you had like 6 years ago? And what does that mean? Oh, did we see someone mention something that might be illegal? So we're going to go check it out, go get a warrant, and kick a door in? I mean, I don't know what that means, but it's very disturbing to me. And I mean, could they be doing that already? Yes. Are they covered over our violations of privacy? I don't know. Could you really fight it now if you wanted to? I don't know. But it seems to me that with this new cyber protection bill, you know, Obama's like, we got to protect businesses. This just puts the cherry on top. Like, once this passes, I don't think we're going to have any leg to stand on. Because I was reading something not too long ago. They really think that this needs to pass because of all these homegrown jihadis. I'm serious about that. Because we're all at risk now. All of us. I mean, workplace violence, people. Do you remember? I remember back in the 90s, in the early 2000s. Remember Office Space? Remember that movie? If anyone saw that? If you've never seen that, the movie's actually pretty funny in a geeky 90s sort of way. But back in the day when that movie came out, man, I was a tech back then. And we just all went crazy for that movie because it was, again, like Geeks of the World Unite. Rise up against the machine. And I think it was a call center. I was working in a call center back in those days, distribution. I did phone tech support. Oh, my God. Talk about, like, take a pencil and stab it in your eyeballs. I did that shit for 3 years. I think I did phone support before I became the tech trainer, which was much better. I did that, like, standing up. But, yeah, so anyway, I think what they did was didn't they go beat the crap out of a computer in a field with a baseball bat? Which, of course, you know, all my computer problems. But I think what they did was kind of like that, what's it called? On the stock market where they're doing that computer-assisted trading, that fast trading where they're making like a penny a transaction or a half a penny a transaction. But because of that, they've become like rich doing it that way. And now, you know, we've heard a couple things. There's Attorney General in New York State that said that high frequency trading isn't even legal, they don't think. Yet these brokers have been doing this for years, making themselves rich on it. But in that movie, that was kind of what they did. They were scamming like a half a penny off of every transaction and then ended up with all these bank accounts with money in them and they didn't know what to do about it. It was pretty funny. Anyway, so totally got off the topic. So let's finish the story about the cybersecurity bill. I'm almost out of time, if you can believe it. Once the information is shared with the government, it can easily and legally be shared with an abundance of intelligence agencies. And one of the things that I pointed out when I did the story yesterday but was off the air that they don't mention in the story at all is the liaison of the Microsoft Cyber Patrol Center. I really, really think that that was the whole point of that Cyber Patrol Center, and they came out and they're like, hey, we're going to work with governments and law enforcement here and around the world to find cyber criminals that are targeting Nana and her bank account. You know, Microsoft is in just about, I would have to say, 99.99% of businesses, small to medium businesses. Somebody has to have at least a version of Office or a version of Windows. I mean, I don't think there's too many offices that are running Ubuntu Linux with GIMP for, you know, image editing. And there might be. I'm not saying it can't be done. But, you know, you get tax write-offs and whatever, so you might as well spend a few extra dollars and be on the same platform as the rest of the business world. I mean, that's the way it goes. But with Microsoft's foot in the door in the majority of American companies, Microsoft, of course, they are coming now back to collect the fruits of Billy Gates' labor when he bent over and spread them for the mysterious conclusion of the antitrust lawsuit. The day that I remember, I literally saw Bill Gates turn evil with the look on his face in the press photos. I knew the day when that was over. You could see it in his eyes. And that was the day I'm pretty sure that he handed over the keys and he made a deal with the feds to be able to keep his company together. And they said, don't worry about it, Billy. 20 years from now, for your service, we are going to take care of you as you're going into your golden ages of retirement. And Microsoft will forever live in history as a helping arm to the federal government to catch cyber criminals. I mean, it to me, the timeline is very clear. And just after Bill Gates said that he would come back interim. He's not CEO. I don't remember what title they gave him, but he supposedly is in there now part-time advising again at Microsoft. So he's back at the helm to now steer it into this new surveillance state. And the Microsoft Cyber Patrol Center was born. You know, like I said, they announced that they're working with world governments and local and U.S. police, attorney general, etc., tracking down cyber criminals, almost like a real life CSI. And what a more perfect puzzle piece to lock into place to act as the shim between government and business, right? So Microsoft has been given the golden egg for that one. And like I said, I find it interesting that nowhere in the story is Microsoft Cyber Patrol Center even mentioned, even with the bat of an eye. Like, how could that not be mentioned? So either that was intentional or whoever wrote the story only has half a clue, because I find that very important. And I'm sure that Microsoft is like rubbing their hands together as they're thinking of all the new business that's going to come along with this. All right. Anyway, that was pretty much the end of the story. The Center for Democracy and Technology says that acknowledging realistic threats posed by hackers, say they acknowledge realistic threats posed by hackers, but warn. And I mean, I don't deny that there are real hackers out there. I actually just saw the other day that Obama, did you see that they were announcing that Obama's emails got hacked? And they're now blaming it on Russians. I just think it's funny. After they were bitching about Hillary Clinton and her email server being off-site and holy shit, blah, 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 which, you know, don't get me wrong, she should be prosecuted for that. I think they should have just taken a search warrant, broken into her, in the way they treat us, why not? Broken into her home. Wasn't she in Chappaqua or somewhere like that? And freaking taking her server. I don't care what you say, Hillary. You know, she was Secretary of State, and those emails belong to the people. You know what? You didn't want anyone to be reading them? Well, then you shouldn't have been sending them. I mean, if you designated your, Bill Clinton for Congress or domain, whatever it was, Clinton Foundation. And I mean, now there's all kinds of accusations about them using their whole foundation to be able to go around the world and collect money from world leaders, which then, of course, that money all backdoored in for Hillary's campaign. I mean, they're just such disgusting, dirty people. But, you know, getting back to the security thing, if you are an elected, well, actually, she wasn't even elected. Obama was sort of selected, and then he selected her. But if you are in one of the positions of power, Secretary of State is no slouch. You're traveling, meeting with dignitaries in all of the countries around the world that we do business with or have political ties with, trying to be the schmoozer galore. I would have to say that you need to follow some rules, okay? And the fact that she was the one who decided what emails were pertinent and what weren't pertinent to the permanent record of the position she held during the years that she was in office. So she was the one who got to decide which of those emails were going to be retained and which ones she considered to be personal. I call absolute bullshit on. Hey, you know what? The NSA is going to be deciding which of my emails are fucking pertinent to put into my dossier. They should have been considering which of Hillary Clinton's were pertinent. Shouldn't have been her. If you gave me my entire history of the last, I don't know, let's say 5 years of browsing, everything I've done online, anywhere, anything I've said into an electronic device, give me the whole thing and let me go through and edit it. Right? You see the problem. So anyway, I saw after they had bitched, though, about Hillary having the server offsite and not using any of the securities through the White House. Here we go. I could finally play a video, but wait, I am sorry. I'm so unprepared today. I had so much going on. Trying to get this marathon and stuff set up has been quite a lot. I actually need to catch up with them once I get off the air and just verify we got the right IP address and I get the list all right with the guests and everything, which I'm pretty sure I do because it was directly out of an email from them. But I still need to get all the archiving done. I hit mute. But then we'll be good on that. It's just always so much. And I think today's only Tuesday, so I should be good until Wednesday or Thursday before I have to start cutting shows again. Bing! All right, let's see if we can get me added to the call. And hopefully there's nothing playing on my desktop. And we're in slow-mo. But... I think we're connected. All right. Anyway, report says Russian hackers got in Obama's emails. What? I don't know. It gave me some pleasure yesterday, so I thought I'd share it with you. Hopefully it works. Hurry it up.
The New York Times is reporting some of Barack Obama's unclassified emails were read by Russian hackers last year. Crime and Justice producer Shimon Prokupich joins us now from Washington with more. What did they get?
Well, we know, CNN was first to break this story back in beginning of April. We had reported that it was believed that Russian hackers were able to get inside the White House servers. This is the unclassified sort of not the secret side of the White House computer system. And basically, it appears that they were able to read a lot of emails. A lot of people who work at the White House, who were communicating with the president, with his staff, with the Secret Service, anyone who had any sort of communication within the White House, outside of the White House, through their emails, through their server, it appears that the Russians were able to get access to. One of the most important things that we had reported earlier this month was that the Russians were able to monitor the president's movement in real time. So, whatever his schedule was, whatever changes were made to his schedule, they were able to see that. They were able to read it, and they had access to it.
Who are they?
well, the government believes it's the Russians. I mean, sources we've talked to say that everything that's pointing to the Russians has...
Forgive me, you say the Russians. Are you talking about Russian authorities, people acting under the orders of official government figures, or are these Russian hackers? Because there's a lively underworld in Russia that is entirely criminal and out of anyone's control.
Well, that is true. But now, certainly sources that we've talked to, Evan Perez, who covers the Justice Department for CNN, and I have talked to people who've all indicated that these were hackers acting on behalf of the Russian government.
Whoa! Talk about, it's possible Russian hackers have been around for a very long time. I warned you guys about them a long time ago. I would always be suspect of any website that ends, instead of a .com, that ends in a .ru. That was something that we'd known about for a long time, that they would load a lot of those websites with malware. So when you would go out there, it would download some sort of mischievous software, malicious software onto your computer that would, do key logging or something like that. I mean, God, I'm trying to remember, what year was it? 1998, 1999? That was when I bought my first surveillance software from a Russian hacker online. And he wrote a little keylogger. I paid him like $15. I had a boyfriend who was doing all kinds of shit behind my back. And I wanted to catch him, and there was nothing out there like that. So I did. I found a Russian hacker who had the software and installed it on my boyfriend's computer. It totally busted him. They've been at this for a long time. Even when I was doing IT stuff and running the e-business department, that was, I think I mentioned that yesterday, was like Ukrainian or Romanian, I think it was actually, the Romanian hacker that we had caught. I mean, we didn't catch him, but we thwarted his attempts. We watched him for a whole weekend. We fought with him getting into our server, and we had to keep like plugging the holes in the bucket every time he got in. But anyway, here, let's listen to a little bit more. I'm surprised they're blaming it on the Russians and not the Chinese or the North Koreans or, oh, God forbid, ISIS with their hacking skills in the desert.
Who were working for the Russian government and were doing this on behalf of the Russian government.
This is extraordinary. What is the White House saying?
Well, they basically have not said much. I mean, they had early on, they have never publicly admitted that it was the Russians. They had early on when there was, they had noticed that there was suspicious activity within their servers. They did release a statement and basically have admitted that there was some sort of a intrusion, but have not come out and publicly said who was behind the intrusion, and they have not discussed publicly what exactly these hackers who were working for the Russian government, what they got their hands on.
What the one thing that it does make me think of there is, if Snowden is still in Russia, and I don't know. I mean, I still think day one when Snowden came out, I was like, his story to me, though he's coming out and pretending like he's the next American hero, the whole thing was just too convenient to me. And I mean, now, how long ago did that happen? A year plus ago. And things that I was saying back then, I gotta hit that, hold on, I gotta hit that hang up button. I hate that hiss. Things I was saying back then, I am now hearing being echoed throughout the alternative media, that now people are like, well, maybe he wasn't, doing this in our best interest. I honestly almost think that Snowden is some sort of double agent, probably. I mean, he now is over in Russia. Who was I just hearing yesterday? I think it was Michael Cross saying exactly what I had said at the time, too. How, Russia, we used to be very friendly with Russia back until the whole Snowden incident. And now it's become like the whole... UCY is now trying to call me. Hopefully it's not... it's not screwing up the broadcast. Okay. we were pretty friendly with Russia until the whole Snowden thing happened. And now it's become like a Cold War again. I mean, is it real or imagined? This could all, remember, rich guys all butt rub, butt pat and butt rub in the background while they're on their yachts eating their caviar. So who knows? Who knows if it's real or not? But anyway, like I said yesterday, it just gave me a little bit of pleasure when I saw that They were stating that his emails had been hacked. Hopefully he said some things that were pretty embarrassing in there. We'll find him on a website someday. All right, let me pop back over to chat quick. And I will drop you guys the story. Yeah, every government does have hackers. So it's very possible. But anyway, there you go. So where do we go from here? There's only a few minutes left. I know there were a few stories that I wanted to mention to you guys, and maybe this is where we'll kick it off for tomorrow. I kind of lost the whole progression of things when I lost 8 minutes of the show yesterday when we were talking about vehicles. But Cooper, Mini Cooper, has some new augmented reality glasses for driving their car that are pretty slick. But we're not on the cars really anymore, so whatever. But wait. There were here. This is one I want to share with you. So as we spent time talking about Ebola, quote unquote Ebola, and all the reasons for the Ebola, quote unquote, outbreak, quote unquote, and all the vaccines that for the first time ever got to be tested in humans now, oh, lo and behold, in Africa. And all the private companies that got to go public like right before that, quote unquote, epidemic happened. How interesting that all was. I mean, that was all a part of us digging into the bio warfare program and the history of it. And RNAi, remember, and mad science gone mad. Human guinea pigs for testing. And actually, that Dr. John Hall mentioned all that yesterday. I mean, I definitely am not off the mark on any of that stuff. We need to dig deeper is what I've discovered. He had so much on mind control, and I've been saying I got to put together some real research on the mind control programs, and we're going to dig deep into that. But, oh, my God, hearing that show yesterday, actually, if anyone wants to catch it, we wrote the date down. It is on YouTube. On the UCY YouTube channel, youtube.com/UCY TV. Unlock the Door is the show. And it was the May 17th, 2014 show with Dr. John Hall. It's his name is in the title. Anyway, so with all that, I see two disturbing stories now as we're having all of these quote unquote pathogens start appearing mysteriously, never before seen, haven't been seen in 50 years. Oh my God, Johnny's trip to Disneyland got ruined by you anti-vaxxer people who don't step in line. I found two stories that go along with the whole narrative that to me were very frightening. Here's number one. And guys, this isn't a joke either, which is what I couldn't even believe. Here's the title. As Ebola recedes, we're talking about Africa, threat of a measles crisis in West Africa. Now, come on. So just as you now have gotten all these people to be afraid, very afraid in Africa, to line up for your newfangled Frankenstein mad science gone mad vaccines, and you got like 5 or 8 different companies now doing real life guinea pig experiments on all those people over there. Now you're going to tell me that there's a threat of measles in West Africa that you're going to have to ramp up for and get everyone vaccinated for? Wow. Q3 profits must be promised to be really good. Here at the beginning of the story, maybe we'll really dig into this because this is kind of a long story. Maybe we'll really dig into this tomorrow because I do have more to talk about some new pathogens. The African countries most affected by the Ebola outbreak could now be highly susceptible to a measles epidemic. Oh, go figure. Due to severe disruptions in the healthcare system caused by Ebola, including the closing of and public aversion to clinics and hospitals, These areas have experienced a dramatic reduction of routine procedures such as measles vaccination. Damn, our vaccination rates are down. Stat, we need to fix that. I mean, come on, measles outbreak in Africa. And then in the same publication, this is either the story before or the story after that, here's the other headline, and I guess this is where we're going to start tomorrow. DOD Award, Emerging and Dangerous Pathogens Laboratory Network. The DOD's Critical Reagents Program has announced intentions to procure laboratory assessments on 5 World Health Organization Emerging and Dangerous Pathogen Laboratories in Africa. The assessment includes transfer of cryovials of clinical material to the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Disease for evaluation and accessioning into the Unified Culture Collection and assay performance data for the CRP polymerase chain reaction assay and the CRP Magix assay from the testing of clinical materials in the freezers at these locations. What I would like to do is find out what those assays are and for what pathogens, which I could do that before tomorrow. But here we're talking like biodefense labs in Africa. We always knew that they were there. So the Department of Defense is now going to take over 5 World Health Organization labs that happen to be where? In Africa. All right, guys, we're down to the last 25 seconds of the show. If you can even believe it, make sure you go to ucy.tv/schedule. And take a look at the expanded overnights. Actually, it was some really good listening last night. So hopefully no one will miss May too much. She'll still be playing on the weekends. All right, it is Tuesday, so make sure you stick around. Tuesdays are always exciting. Mr. Kevin Blanche is up live next. This week's Nuclear Hot Seat with Libby Levy. Chuck O'Jelly live at 6. Primer Time with Michael and Nick at 9. And Antimedia Radio with SM Gibson 11.